Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How many of you have decided that you're going to meet with Jesus this morning? Let's position ourselves with praise. Let's get ourselves aligned and ready for what God wants to do. Heavenly Father, we set aside every other agenda other than what you have for us. Father, we submit our will and our way to you, your word, and your will. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. You are still on the throne. It doesn't matter what situation or circumstance we are up against. You are still the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. There is nothing beyond the reach, the grasp of your hands. Heavenly Father, you have put the enemy under your feet, and you always prosper. You always overcome in all things. Victory will be yours today in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you ready to shout praise to Jesus this morning?
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
Come on, everybody, sing.
Carrying our burdens, covering our shame.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Who here knows that we serve a God that can do anything? Our God, he can move mountains, he can heal the sick, he can raise the dead, and he is for you today.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. In faith commanded, and the mountains moved. In fear is losing ground to our hope. Your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Heaven thunder. Shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Let me hear a shout for your unstoppable Jesus. Let me hear a shout. Come on, just thank him for how good he is, how awesome he is. Say, God, you are awesome. Come on your own. We don't have to do it for you. You just say it out of your mouth. Open up your mouth this morning. Say, God, you are so awesome. You're so good. My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign. Sing that out, my God.
Strength where I've been weakened forever.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Come on, sing it right to him. Sing, I love you. I love you, Jesus.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you.
I
you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Sing, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I pour my heart out, I love you.
I love you, Jesus.
I worship and adore you.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
I love you, Jesus.
Come on, take your time, just you and Jesus.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you.
We bless you.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on, talk to him. It's you and Jesus time. Don't let your moments escape. Hallelujah. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Everything pales in your sight. We honor you for your presence this morning. We thank you, God, that you're with us, that you love us. Lord, today we just want you to know, from the depths of our spirit, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for first loving us. Thank you, God, that you saw us in our mess. And God, you chased after us. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming after us. Thank you for loving us. Lord, many of us, Lord, in this room struggle. Lord, the devil loves to whisper and say, God's given up on you. There is no hope. But we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, Father, your love is unending. It is perfect. God, you never called us to be perfect before we come. God, that you said you come to us and mature us. So, Lord, thank you for loving us even through our messes. God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God, we're going to succeed because we're in your presence and because you dwell inside of us. We can't fail. We can't fail with God living inside of us. Father, we just choose to live blessed. You know, I was in prayer this morning, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I was saying, God, you know, I've been praying for what we call organic growth. See, I believe the book of Acts is just powerful. I don't know when's the last time you read the book of Acts, but I love reading how the church started to be added to daily. You know, the very first time the gospel was preached, 3,000 men gave their hearts to Jesus. That didn't include their families. They figure up to 15,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord the very first time Peter preached the gospel. Powerful. A few chapters later, we see another 5,000 men give their hearts to Jesus, not including women or children. Then as we start studying the scripture, it says the Bible said that the church was added to daily. That's every single day, somebody like you, turn to someone and say, like you, was leading their friends to Jesus, leading their mother to Jesus, leading their brothers to Jesus. They were leading strangers to Jesus. The church was being added to daily. And then all of a sudden you start reading and the word changes. It's no longer added, it's multiplied. Bible says that the church started to multiply. And you know, I love multiplication. You never see subtraction or division in the scripture when it comes to the church. You only see addition or multiplication. I've been praying, God, I want to see, Father, we see at least one soul saved today at His tabernacle. I give God praise for that. You know, with the average church only seeing one soul saved a year, I thank God in this house we see at least 500 people born again every single year. I thank God for that. But it's not enough. There are too many people that don't know Christ that aren't going to see Him face to face. How many of you at least know 5 people that don't know Jesus? Oh my goodness. That's a lot of folk right there represented in this room. And I kept saying, God, well, why is it? And He said, I used to be in the book of Acts. I was their life. You see, they were in Roman rule and they were oppressed. So when they got saved, especially from religion, they experienced a freedom that they had never experienced before. So Christ was their life. He says, in today's reality of many believers, I am part of their life, but I am not their life. I'm part where it fits, where it's comfortable, convenient, where it works for their schedules. He said, when the church gets back to I am their life, in Him we live and move and have our being. Things shift and change. And I pray that today, each one of us, and I'm included. You know, there are a lot of preachers that aren't going to heaven either. Just because you preach the gospel don't mean you know Christ. I'm praying, God, I don't want you to be part of my life. I want you to be the fullness of my life. Amen. It's not about convenience. Not about Him fitting a part. He is the whole. No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Is Christ your all, or is He just part? The parts that fit for you. And I challenge you this morning, if we could just sing that one more time. And I know we're a little bit late on worship, but I love you, Jesus. I just want you to rededicate your heart to the Lord. God, I don't want you to be part of my life. I want you to be the whole of my life. Amen. Can we just sing that to Him? Don't worry about what anybody is around you. Don't worry about the moments that are passing by. Listen now, captivate your moment with Christ. Sing to Jesus this morning. And listen, if you can't sing, I can't sing either. They don't let me sing. Many times if I start singing, they cut me off in the back. You see me moving my lips. I'm not lip syncing. They're just making sure no one else can hear it. It has nothing to do with sound. This has to do with heart. God wants your heart. And I just pray that we can sing this song to Him this morning. Amen.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you.
Come on, lift your hands and sing to Jesus. Come on, sing to Jesus.
Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you.
I just want to tell you.
Just want to tell you.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you more than anything.
Hear us, Jesus. Your word says you look for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, hear our hearts this morning. We genuinely love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you that today we're in your presence. We love you. There's the anointing right there. Thank you, Jesus. Heal bodies, Lord, this morning. Heal bodies this morning. Lord, those that are troubled in their mind, I pray and speak peace to their hearts right now, their minds right now. I command peace to come to your mind. There's the anointing go. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone having pain behind your left eyeball on the outer side. I'm not sure what that is, but Lord, I speak to that pain in the name of Jesus. I curse the cause and I command, Lord, no more pain behind the eyeball in Jesus' name. There's another individual, a gentleman who's having problems in his private areas. God is healing you right now. I don't know how else to say that. Father, I just release healing right now in Jesus' name. God, I command right now that portion of the body be made whole for the glory of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you fearfully and wonderfully made us. Every fiber, Lord, every eyelash. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you care about every portion of our life. And you are so good to us. We love you. And today, we can't say it enough. Thank you for loving us, Jesus. Come on, just tell him. Thank him. Thank him for loving you. I know Bruce is going to pray that louder than anybody. God loves Bruce. Amen. You know, I just want to thank God for Bruce. Bruce, come on over here, please. You know, all the examples. Bruce is just a mighty man of God. You know, when he first came here because his wife started coming to Rock Solid Faith. She wasn't coming to church. And I don't know how he got here. He's from a Catholic background. Amen. Came to the house. He was really... really not a nice person. You weren't really serving God well.
You didn't know me. I wasn't serving you.
But you know, he's been such a massive part of my life here at his tabernacle. And what I mean by that is, whenever you see the examples like you did last week of heaven and you see all that, Bruce heads up that team. And the team's job, it's called the SWAT team. If you want to participate with that, you need to see Bruce. But what I love about that team is for all of us, they make those messages come alive so you don't forget them. And the amount of hours that they do to make sure that you and I catch those messages, I can't thank Bruce enough. And I just want to say, Father, can we just pray for him? Father, we just release blessing, God, in his life in the name of Jesus. Lord, in his job, Lord, we thank you for, Lord, increased prosperity in his job in the Jesus name. We also declare, God, health in his body. Lord, blessing in his marriage and his family. Lord, his children, if they're not serving you, we call them into the kingdom in Jesus name. God, whew. Lord, I just thank you for the fresh anointing, even as he's doing ministry with men. Lord, he's just given to you and your kingdom. We love you. Bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Amen. Normally, we do a meet and greet at this time, and we're going to ask that we're not going to do a meet and greet because we're going to do communion this morning. If everybody just make your way back to your chairs and then turn around to the person in back of you and say, good morning, my name is. Well, you got to add that. Don't forget to add your name there. Good morning, my name is. Did anybody meet somebody? You're married. What's your new name? What is it? What's your name? Yeah, what's your name? You're a moss? What are you smelling? Isn't God good? Turn to somebody next to you and say, good morning, I just ran into the pulpit. Why do you do that to me? I want to welcome all those on live stream. They're the only ones who saw me just back into the pulpit, almost kill myself. Praise the Lord. We have some announcements for you this morning.
July 14th, we will be having an outreach in Grove Street Park. We're calling it a block party, but really what it is us loving our community. We're going to be giving out hot dogs, giving out clothes, telling people about Jesus, and we want you to be part of it. So that's happening July 14th. We're starting off at 11:30 and ending at 1. We would love to have you with us.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Upper Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at aaron@histabernacle.com.
Awesome. Well, good morning, family. It is such an awesome day to be alive. I'm excited. It's beautiful outside. We just got back from Florida, which was even better. I'm not going to lie. But we're happy to be home. If you're a guest, we just want to welcome you. Would you lift your hand if you did not receive a guest packet? We want to get that to you. We just want to love on you. Right after service, if you are a guest, if you make your way out those back doors, we have a tent. It's really hard to miss. We have snacks, water for you. We want to meet you, love on you, tell us about who we are. We're so excited to have you. And if you're watching via live stream, we want to welcome you. My family's watching. So hi, Mom and Dad. They're watching from Florida. So we're super, super excited. Anyway, he always does this to me. Nobody knows what it's like when Pastor Spence is talking because I never want to ignore him in case he's saying something important, but it never is. And I feel like the one time I ignore him, it's actually going to be important. So I just will continue to listen. But we just want to encourage you, hey, Tuesday night, we currently have Next Steps going on. At 7 p.m., we have Rock Solid Faith in here. And then out there, we have Parenting with our own Josiah Skinkle. It is such a good class. Pastor Chad is too scared to go, but I've been there every week faithfully, and it is awesome. So I want to encourage you to come out. We would love you. And hey, if you haven't joined a group, get involved with groups. This is what it's all about, man. Doing life, you don't do life alone. You do it with family. And so get involved. There's more information online.
And last but not least, we have our Awaken Monthly here tonight. Anybody here that 18 to 30 years old? Yeah, I see some liars out there, but I think the only people that raised their hands were those above 30, so praise God for you. We are having a tailgate party for the young adults. I made a comment earlier that this may be the only tailgate party you ever remember because this is a Christian one and we aren't drinking or doing anything like that. We're just going to have a great time. We're doing burgers and drinks and it's just going to be an amazing time. We're going to have a full service. So if you've never been out before, make some time. We'd love to have you and we'll see you at 5:45 tonight. And now we've got Pastor Rhonda who's going to come up and give the offering message.
Amen. Pastor Jade, by the way, is our daughter-in-law, so she can bust on him like that. And we can tell that she's been with her lovely family because her accent is nice and sharp this morning. Did you notice that? Oh, I'm sorry. So he's over here talking to us all the time. She's from South Africa, and we love South Africa. I actually get to be there in 6 weeks with them. I'm looking forward to it. But as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you like to be right? Come on, guys. We know you like to be right, right? And ladies, don't leave you out. You like to be right, too. How many of you like to be right with God? Amen. Well, if you want to be right according to the Word of God, then tithe. Then tithe. When we don't tithe, we are not right with God. Let me read the scripture to you, the Holy Bible, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God?" That is not being in right standing with God. Will a man rob God? But you say, in what way do we rob you? For you have withheld your tithe and offerings. And it says in verse 10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. So in this house, we tithe according to the word of God. And tithe simply means, in the Bible, 10%. It's what God says to do. And we tithe because the word of God says it. But then he promises us this message. This command comes with a promise that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. And it even gets better than that. He says he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So in this house, we tithe and we walk under an open heaven. Amen. Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration as we give. And when you come forward today, we are doing communion. So make sure you come up and grab your communion cup. I know many of you give online or through text to give, but come forward and make sure you grab your communion cups when we collect the offering this morning. So let's make our supernatural declaration from Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord and make sure you come forward for your communion buckets. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and text to give right along with us.
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
Praise the Lord. I love communion. Honestly, sometimes first service is always tough because we're really time constrained. But I love communion because this is really a family affair. It's all about family. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't do communion with some visitor down the street. You know, some guy that he didn't know. He had it with his family. And today, if you are born again, you love Jesus, turn to someone and say, "You're my family." Actually, say it this way. Even if you don't like me, I'm still your family. Get used to it. Amen. We're family. You know, this is His Tabernacle Family Church. We did that for a reason. And, you know, no family's perfect. Turn to someone and say, "I know that." But even though no family's perfect, we love each other. You might not always like each other, but you love each other. And today, we're talking about Jesus having communion with his disciples, his friends. That's what he said. Therefore, let's go back to verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But let each one examine himself, so that let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and some are dead. And if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." What I love about when you really look at the picture of communion, I want to remind you that what you usually see is the picture painted is not true. Everybody sitting around a table, that's not how they did it. They did it where they would lay on the floor together, and they would be head to chest all the way around. So you could literally hear the heartbeat of the person next to you. And then they would double dip. You know that's love. They would pass the bread. They would double dip in the sop. It's called sop in the middle. And I'll tell you, that's love. But what I love so much about Jesus is he was sharing about covenant. You see, covenant is different than religion. Covenant, when God cuts a covenant with us, a contract with us, God cannot lie. And Jesus cut a covenant, and this is what he declared. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Do you know, sadly enough, the church world at large doesn't teach it's always God's will to heal anymore. We vacillated more towards experience or what we've seen in our lifestyle rather than we've changed our doctrine to better fit our philosophies. But the word of God is yea and amen. And by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus. Jesus loves to heal. This is his nature. In Exodus 15:26, God said it this way, "I am the God that healeth thee." The word there is Rapha. That is healing in spirit, soul, and body. God doesn't want you just saved. God wants you whole. Can you turn to someone and say, "God wants me whole"? That's right. That spirit, soul, and body, he wants you whole. Jesus came to set the captives free, not put you back in prison. Amen? Sin is a prison, but also sickness is a prison. The broken heart is a prison. Jesus came to set you free. So Jesus took the bread with his friends. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you this morning that you paid the price for every sickness and disease to be placed back on the cross. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every sin and heals every disease. We rebuke right now sickness and disease from the body of Christ. We command no maiming and no wounding. Lord, whatever has been broken, to be restored. God, you are a miracle worker. If you created it once, you can recreate it the second time. So God, we thank you. Those even carrying metal in their body, the metal will disappear. Those that are blind will be able to see. Those that are deaf, oh God, will be able to hear. We declare, God, that you still raise people from the dead. You are a miracle-working King. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the price you paid for our healing. In the name of Jesus, let's partake together of the cracker. Listen, did you hear me? I'm trying to keep a good attitude. That is not a cracker. I'm not sure what in the world that thing is. We just ate. We need faith just to take communion these days. When I was a kid, we did it the old-fashioned way. You know, and they used to pour the Welch's grape juice. I was always praying that there'd be less people in service during communion week so I could go up and drink all the rest of the ones that were left over. I don't know what sin you have, but I got some good news for you. You've never gone too far. He's never given up on you. I don't care what sin you've done. I don't care. I don't care how bad it seems in your sight or in anybody else's sight. This I know. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So today you can rest in this. He loves you. And if you ask him, he'll wash every single sin away. Sometimes people don't forget. The devil definitely doesn't want you to forget. But he says, every time you sin and you ask forgiveness, I'll throw your sin as far as the east to the west, and I don't even remember it. I don't even remember it anymore. So every time you bring up your sin you did yesterday, he goes, what? What was that? I distinctly remember forgetting that. God distinctly remembers forgetting every one of your sins. Father, we can't thank you enough for washing every sin away. We love you. Lord, thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for being faithful to us. God, even in our unfaithfulness, you've never, never walked away. We love you. And Lord, we thank you that today we can celebrate the blood of the new covenant, and we honor you with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. I believe if you pass them to the end of the aisles, the ushers are passing something. That is just the nastiest experience, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Is it my turn to preach? Am I preaching now? Well, I get to preach. Ah! My wife and I just returned from Bishop Thomas, Bishop Rick Thomas, our bishop. He wants us to tell you how much he loves the house, he and Pastor Kathy, how much he loves us. And we just want you to know that we have a phenomenal bishop over our church. They require nothing from us. I hope you know that. When you get into organizations, they require money. They want the church's tithe or something. Our bishop says this, anything you need, I'll help you with. He said, I'll be there. If you call me and you need me up there, I'll come up. So that means when he calls and wants us, I go down. And so we were able to spend a few days actually with Bishop Rick Thomas and Pastor Kathy out of Margate, Florida, Abundant Life Church. I would really challenge you to listen to their podcasts. I'm listening to one podcast that Bishop did back in 2017. I'm on my fifth time around it. Sometimes you just got to wrap your head. Can I hear an amen? Today I want to talk to you. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago actually, we preached on hell. How many of you felt a little hot that week? Amen. Last week we preached on heaven, right? Am I right? Heaven? Heaven. I just got to remember my dates. I'm kind of lost right now. Today I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the rapture of the church. Next week, my wife is going to be preaching. You don't want to miss it. Pastor Obi said something about 6 months ago that I found was very stimulating to me, and he said it this way. He said, there's only one spirit stronger than the Holy Spirit in church, the spirit of offense. Oof, Jesus. When you start seeing people walk away from God, walk away from God's kingdom, walk away from church, there's always an offense linked up to it. Big or small, they've walked away because of a spirit of offense. So next week, Pastor Ron will be preaching on the spirit of offense. If you're offended, that's the week to miss. Amen? Many people have never even heard of the rapture. Our church, we know it. We study in rock solid faith. The rapture of the church is very important because without understanding the rapture of the church no longer is driven to live holy and no longer is driven to save souls. We've come to a place in the Christian church of America where soul winning is only set up for a team or two of people, where we do an outreach and hopefully somebody gives their heart to the Lord. The majority of churches right now in America don't even give altar calls. It would amaze you to see how people don't get saved through the kingdom of God any longer, which ultimately means this. The church has actually lost her way. We have lost the purpose of our being on this planet. We have apprehended the earth's wealth, the earth's blessing, and yet we forget that we are sojourners here. This is not our home. Can you turn to someone and say, this is not your home? The rapture of the church, man, is something we've been talking about. Well, Jesus explained it all the way back in Matthew and so on and so forth. But yet the church world today has sat back and we just disregard the rapture or the taking away of the church. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, hang on. I'm going to open it up for you. I just need you to hear this because I'm talking to the old Christians right now. Those who have said, just like a lot of other people, well, Pastor, come on now. They've been talking about the rapture for the last 50 years, last 60 years. Oh, Pastor, I've been church for 80 years. They've been preaching about the rapture all that time and nothing has changed. I want to read two verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning of creation. Another time in Matthew 24, 3, it says this, now he sat on the Mount of Olives and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things shall be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. So people have sat back and they said, well, Pastor, really? Come on now. We've talked, you know, I've heard the rapture thing and they've tried to scare the hell out of me. Listen, is anybody old enough in the kingdom this morning to remember the old movies of the 1970s, The Thief in the Night? You remember that movie because they were bell bottoms. You can't avoid the bell bottoms. I'm talking like, I used to watch those as a kid, and I was scared to go to sleep. My wife, she was scared. I mean, it was a scary thing. My parents, they handcuffed us to a furniture. My mother's here. They handcuffed us to furniture, and they made us watch those 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No sleep, no food, no water. I survived. No, really, though, back when I was a child, the rapture was very much talked about. And you lived holy because you don't know when Jesus is coming. He's going to come as a thief in the night, the Bible declares. So what happens is, when you're not sure when he's coming, you want to be living right when he does. Well, the scoffers have said, well, Pastor, this has been talked about forever. You know, it's never really happened, and really, nothing's changed. But today, I want to talk to you about change. You see, even sinners know right now something is up. Even ungodly people today know something is up. The Bible says in the last days, they shall call good bad and bad good. Let's be real. We've been doing that, but yet is intensified to a level that the United States has never seen before. We are looking where what used to be called wrong is no longer wrong. It's okay. I'm talking in the church world. We're in the church, things that we knew were wrong, were unbiblical, something unacceptable. In fact, what was amazing is they did a study on young adults, and the study came back with this. Is sex before marriage wrong? And the studies came back from the Christian young people, no. What's happened is there's been a change of philosophy. Now, the Bible is not philosophical. The Bible is the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word is the truth of God. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says that one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to fruition. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. So we cannot change our philosophies against the word of God to meet our conveniences. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And so what's happened is there's been a shift in the church world. And I want you to realize that the end times are coming quick. What is the rapture? The word rapture actually is never seen in the scripture. We find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. But also we see it in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It's called the snatching away or the taking away of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 says this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Everybody give a shout. Well, that was the saddest thing I ever heard in my life. Give a shout! For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What was really cool was we know that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. But he was on this earth for 40 days. And then there was something called the ascension. And we find this in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, where Jesus literally ascended into heaven with the disciples standing there. So here it is, you know, you're hanging out with the disciples. You've already risen. Jesus rose from the dead. They think he's there to start an earthly kingdom because that's what they feel the Messiah is called to do. But all of a sudden, they're standing there, and then Jesus starts leaving. And he starts ascending right in front of them in his physical body, and he goes up into the clouds. And then all of a sudden, there are two angels standing beside him, and they say, what are you doing? And they're looking up, and they said, the same way you see him go is the same way you're going to see him come. It's called the rapture of the church. That anybody who became born again after the death and resurrection of Jesus, if they died, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you die physically when after you've been saved, the moment you die, your spirit will be in heaven, yet your body will be put in the grave. That's why the Bible says in Thessalonians, we don't mourn the same way the world does, because the world mourns because they see end. But when we're born again, we get sad because they're not going to be with us, but yet we'll see them just in a little bit. Can I hear an amen? The rapture of the church is an exciting time for the body of Christ. Comfort one another. Encourage one another with these words. I'm excited about the rapture of the church. So this is what's going to happen. All of a sudden, the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So physically, literally, the physical bodies of the dead will rise into the heavens. It's called the firmament in the scripture. And their bodies will meet their spirit. And they're going to stand before the Lord. But the Bible says also, those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the air. So this is really awesome. Now I want to remind you, there's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before this occurs on the earth. Jesus can come today before this service is over. In fact, I just saw my daughter-in-law blink. The Bible says that Jesus will come in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Twinkling is faster than a blink. So if you blink, oh, she just blinked again. Rapture just occurred. Literally, before this service is over, the trumpet of God shall sound, the trumpet of God could sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the air. You see, today the rapture could happen. Now listen, there are people that are not living right. There are people that are not in are not born again, probably in this building or watching by live stream, or will be watching this sermon by television. The Bible says if the rapture occurs, you might be sitting in that chair and everybody next to you is gone. It's a powerful reality that we don't like to talk about in the church, but the truth is that when the trumpet of God sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those that are alive, that means everybody on this planet who's born again, blood washed by Jesus Christ, will immediately be taken away. No, that's going to be stinking cool. Bad for them, good for us. Because you can imagine what the highways are going to look like. You can imagine what the airlines are going to look like. You can imagine what's going to occur when all of a sudden babies are disappearing. Listen now, before the age of accountability, and we're not sure what that is with each child, but that child is considered innocent. And therefore, if Jesus Christ comes, the trumpet of God sounds, mommy might be holding her baby, and all of a sudden the baby disappears. You'll be taking your toddler over to Chuck E. Cheese, and all of a sudden your kid cannot be found. Why? No one stole your kid. Your kid's been raptured. I love that God never damns the innocent. Can I hear an amen? The rapture is an exciting time for in the Bible. The Bible says it this way. It says the two will be driving together and bam! Well, he says actually walking together because they didn't have, you know, cars. But bam! You're alone. The airplane's on its way to Florida. You're gone. Bam! They don't make it either. Or if both are unsaved in the cockpit, they might be all right. Mom and dad, let me tell you, the Bible says the two shall be walking together and one will disappear. Husband and wife will be in bed, one saved, one not saved. Boom! Loved one gone. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, for the church, it is an exciting time. For the world, it is not exciting. Chaos is going to erupt all over this planet. Now, I want you to realize that they're going to have to make up reasons. The aliens came down and stole all these people. They'll not be able to deny the billion plus people that will disappear on the planet at that very moment of time that Christ comes and the trumpet of God sounds. They're not going to be able to deny the disappearance of all the children. The disappearance of, listen, all the daycares will be empty. Listen, that's called graduation. Glory to God. You know, it's an amazing, exciting time. But the truth is that the person who does not know Jesus is not going to be raptured. They're going to be called left behind. Turn to someone and say, don't be left behind. We don't like to talk about this one because it's not pretty. But the truth is that there will be many that call themselves Christians that will be left behind. There'll be many that when the preacher is preaching, if it happens on a Sunday morning, the preacher will still be there, but half his congregation will be gone. It is an amazing reality that your posture and position doesn't save you, only but the blood of Jesus Christ saves you. Can I hear an amen? It's the blood that makes you right with God, not your position. This is why the church world, listen, it is so dangerous what's happened in the body of Christ. When the church stops preaching about the rapture, we stop living holy. Why live holy? I have time to repent. I'll tell you what I used to do. When I was a kid, it was just the way. I'll live like hell, but after the rapture, I'll repent. That was my philosophy. It's bad. It's bad. Turn to somebody and say, that's bad philosophy. I'm going to show you why that's bad philosophy. But I want you to hear this. There are a lot of believers who don't live right before God, not because they don't love the Lord, but they don't respect God. And the fact is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you're not living right, if the rapture occurs, you're not going. Well, you know, I'm a nice person. Great. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, I'm a Pentecostal. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, I'm a Catholic. I'm from Massachusetts. The French Canadians, amen. Catholic. Oh, that's right. Your family's, they talk that way. It's your family, for goodness sakes. Catholic. It don't matter if you got the Catholic tag, you're not going to heaven either.
It's only the blood of Jesus Christ washes your sins away. It's only the relationship with God that solidifies your opportunity to be gone in the rapture. And I've got great news for you. God's got a plan for you, and he wants you to be in heaven with him for all of eternity. And baby, you don't want to miss the rapture of the church. Don't get left behind. Live holy. Listen, now in the old days, you know, they were kind of messed up. You know, like, we couldn't use, like, playing cards, you know. We couldn't, like, play cards, because if we were, when Jesus came back, we were going to hell. You couldn't go to the movies, even if you were going to see Bambi, because if you were in the movie hall when the rapture happened, the old church used to teach you would be left behind. God couldn't find you, even in Bambi. You couldn't go bowling, because if you went bowling, they were smoking there. Now, I'm not talking be a freak, but you and I know what's holy and what's not. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, the word of God, is clear. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. We don't live in sin. We might sin. And if you sin, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But as a believer, our nature is not sin. If you're a sinner, your nature is sin. But when you've been born again, according to Peter, you have a new nature. The new nature is that the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you. Man, with God living inside of you, you're a changed person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God has called us to live holy lives. Yet, you know, many of us don't really care about holiness because we don't think we're ever going to physically die, and we don't ever really believe the rapture is going to happen. And there has to be a check to us. Amen? Come on, turn to someone and say, check it up. The other reason what happens when the church no longer preaches the rapture of the church is nobody really has compulsion to see your friends saved. See your families born again. Let me ask you a question. It's counting down, not counting up. I have 6 minutes and 59 seconds to finish this sermon. Jesus. Tell you better start praying if you've never prayed before. Because that would be a miracle. Forgot where I was, but boy, it scared me. Look it up. There we go. If Jesus, right now, it's 10:18. If you knew Jesus, the trumpet of God was going to call, was going to sound at 10:30. What would you change in your life? If you knew at 10:30, which is no more than 12 minutes away, you knew the trumpet of God was going to sound, who would you tell? You see, this is what's happened to the church. We don't live holy anymore because we're not concerned about the rapture, and we don't tell anybody about Jesus because we've got more than enough time. But the truth is that where we are right now, there's no more prophecies left to be fulfilled. The only reason that the trumpet of God has not sounded is simply for this reason. For God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the last month, we've seen over 50 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ at his Tabernacle Family Church. And I want you to realize, if Jesus came 3 months ago, they would have been left behind. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is compassionate. He wills that none should be lost. So you see what happens when the church no longer believes in the rapture, no longer is compelled by the rapture. We don't have a compulsion to tell our friends. They've got time. We don't know how much time they have. Today, the rapture can happen. Before the end of this service, the rapture can happen. Not exaggerating, not trying to bring a fictitious story. I'm not trying to scare you. This is the truth. This is reality. You put your hand on the stove, you're going to be burnt. Oh, don't try to be mean. That's not mean. Don't put your hand on the stove. Your hand will get burned. That's just reality. Man, we've got to live right, because the reality is Jesus can come at any moment. It's an exciting time if you're born again. Maybe not too exciting if you're not. Well, Pastor, you know, I just think you're exaggerating. You know, they've talked about it, but you know. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. I'm going to talk very Bostonian here in just a few minutes, which means I don't breathe. Just have comfort. I will live. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah's were, so also is the coming of the Son of Man will be. For as in the last days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One taken, one left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. Oh, Pastor, what are the prophetic words that have brought us to this place where we can see that this is where we're at? I just want to read a few of them. Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 talks about famines and wars. In the 15th century, there were 6 famines. 16th century, there were 10 famines. 17th century, there were 24 famines. 18th century, 28 famines. 19th century, 30 famines. The 20th century, 44 famines. The first decade of the 21st century alone has already witnessed 12 famines, putting humanity on course for 120 famines over the next 100-year period. It says that in the last days, these will increase. Wars and rumors of wars. Over the last 500 years, the 15th century, 29 wars. 16th century, 59 wars. 17th century, 75 wars. 18th century, 69 wars. 19th century, 294 wars. The 20th century, 278 wars. The first decade of the 21st century has already witnessed 55 wars, putting us on course for 550 wars in the next 100 years. Israel will be reborn as a nation in one day, fulfilled May 14th, 1948, according to Isaiah 66, 7 and 8, Ezekiel 37, 21 and 22. Israel, the Jews, were scattered, and God regathers them, fulfilled Isaiah 11 and 12, Ezekiel 37, 21 through 22. Israel in control of Jerusalem, fulfilled on June 7th, 1967. Zechariah 8, 4 through 8, Revelation 11, verse 8, Daniel chapter 11, verse 41. Israel is a wasteland, but God restores it, fulfilled Ezekiel 36, 34 through 35, Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. The Hebrew language will return to Israel, fulfilled in the last 200 years, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. The apostasy, the false teachers deceive many, Matthew 24, 5 and 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The people's character, boastful, proud, pleasure seekers, scoffers, found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 12. Wars and rumors of wars, Matthew 24, verse 6. Seven famines, famines and plagues, 24, verse 7. Natural disasters, earthquakes, Matthew 24, verse 7. Listen, when you study earthquakes, it will blow your mind on the increase in just this century alone. Persecutions. Matthew 24, verse 9. The gospel will be preached throughout the world. Matthew 24, verse 14. When Billy Graham stood up one day and he preached the gospel when the Twin Towers were still up, he preached the gospel and in one day preached to every nation of the world. Fulfilled. Persecutions. The Center of the Study of the Global Christianity in the United States estimates that 100,000 Christians die every single year, targeted only because of their faith. That is 11 people die every hour. Apostasy, falling away from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The apostasy, that is the people that still look like the church, that aren't believing in salvation, that no longer are following God, just have not left the building. We have a new movement, and it's called seeker-sensitive churches, where they don't want to offend anybody, so they don't preach the whole gospel. You can live any way you want. We actually had someone leave this church because we spoke against drinking. They left this church. They were in ministry, went to another church, and they were able to be on the worship team, live a alternative sexual lifestyle. They could do all of that simply because that church allowed it. That's the apostate church. The gospel is the gospel. The kingdom of God is God's kingdom. We do not have a right to change God's word to fit our philosophies. Can I hear an amen? Knowledge and travel will increase. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Technology for the mark of 666, the mark of the beast, worldwide communication, Revelation 13, 16 through 17. You can go through the microchips, and you've all seen them. Now they have it's about the size of a piece of rice. The very first cashless system was generated for the Australians in 1984. I know that simply because my friend worked at Honeywell, and he helped design it. We also know that chip now, they've started inserting it into dogs, then into, now they're talking about children, so that you cannot lose your kids. Also, they have in the armed forces what they call a smart card, which is all of your information, so that if you get wounded in battle, they just got to take the card and swipe it, and boom, they know everything about you. It's soon going to get to where you can lose a card, so the easiest way not to lose a card is to simply put a chip in. In fact, they now have companies in the United States of America. If you want to work for that company, you get the chip in. That's how you get into work. They get out of work. They mark where you are. Come on now. We also know that very few people use cash. Most people are using cards. How many have ever lost a card? How many have ever had your identity stolen? They're going to make it so that you won't have to worry about that with the mark of the beast. That mark of the beast is going to come when the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple of God called the Abomination of Desolation, where he slaughters a pig according to Daniel chapter 12. As he slaughters that pig, he will then turn against the Jewish nation that he had called in the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. He had created peace for them. They had resurrected the temple of God. They had brought in the worship like it was in the old covenant. Now he's turned as he set himself up as God in the temple of God. And then what he is going to do to control the whole earth is he's going to bring a cashless system to where if you are not going to align in that cashless system, you will be killed because you will be in rebellion against the Antichrist. Signs of the time are very clear. ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. The Euphrates River flows through Iraq, where the army of 200 million will come against Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 9, verse 14 through 18. Here's a new one too. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, talking about Russia taking over the Crimea in Black Sea during Obama's time. They took that over. They can now travel through the Bosporus Strait on the Mediterranean Sea to invade Israel. They will be the armies of the north at the latter part of the Great Tribulation period. When you start looking at where we are and the signs of the time, no one can sit back and say, well, you know, Jesus has got to wait a long time. We got a long time. No, every prophecy has been fulfilled. The lineup of the great battle of Armageddon, where the armies of the north, the armies of the south, and the armies of the east, the armies of the east will march down the Euphrates River, an army of 200 million. The armies of the north, which will be Russia and Europe, will march against the into the valley of Megiddo against the Antichrist. And then the armies of the south, which is Africa, will march up. They'll gather together in that valley. And instead of them fighting against the Antichrist, according to Revelation chapter 19, Jesus will step out, and all of a sudden they will turn against him and Christ with the sword of his tongue. Talk about the battle of Armageddon. We'll slay them all in the valley of Megiddo. According to Ezekiel chapter 37, the blood will be up to the horse's bridle. And then we'll enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, the great news is that if you're born again and you're raptured, you don't got to see any of that stuff. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Oh, but Pastor, it can't be that bad in the Great Tribulation period. Listen, I want you to know that in the first six seals, and the fifth seal, Bible school students, in the fifth seal, 1.8 billion people will be destroyed in one seal alone. 1.8 billion. That means, when you do your numbers, that is the entire Western Hemisphere plus 1 billion people. That's just one of the seals that will be unfolded. It happens again with the trumpets, where another one quarter of the world will be destroyed with the Antichrist. You see, it is a place you do not want to be. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to run after. Can I hear an amen? Man, it's time to live holy because Christ is coming, and it's time for the church to get our burden back for the lost, to get out there and let them know that Jesus can come at any moment. We've got to share the truth of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, that Jesus Christ is coming, and the blood will make sure you go when he comes. Shout it out loud. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
I tell you, what propels me is knowing that he can come today. Who would you tell if you knew he was coming today? Remember, the person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. Well, I don't want to make my dad mad, then you hate your dad. Well, I don't want to make my brother mad, then you hate your brother. Well, I don't want to make my wife mad, then you hate your wife. You've got to tell them the gospel. It's not your job to save them. One plants, one waters, and God brings the increase. But if they never hear the gospel, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. If we never share the gospel, how will they know how to be saved? See, Jesus is coming. That is not fictitious. That is not fallacy. That is not storybook. This is the truth, the reality of where we live right now. Nothing has to happen. Jesus can come today before you take your day's last breath. He can crest the eastern sky and the church will be raptured. Now, a scary part that, you know, a lot of people don't really understand is this. I'm going to end with this one because I'm late. Remember what I used to say? I'll miss the rapture, but I'll go into the end times, and I'll just get my head cut off. Oh, by the way, you know, we see ISIS decapitating people all over the place. You need to realize that that is a rejuvenation for the end times. Decapitation is the way in the scripture declares that those who will not follow the Antichrist, they will have to lose their heads. So, you know, we see this as barbaric. This is the rejuvenation, so that the great tribulation period will be a normality. I used to say, you know what, Pastor? You know, I, when he came to me, because I was kind of a wild child, and I'll go into the great tribulation. I know that I'll get my head cut off, and I'll serve God. Listen, if you can't serve God in peace, how will you ever serve God in when you have to give your life? And now it's even worse than that is when you actually look up 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says that those who had the opportunity, a great delusion will come upon them after they enter the great tribulation period, which means this. If you have had the opportunity to be saved, when the rapture occurs, you will no longer have another shot. It's called the great delusion. Now listen, I guarantee we don't have many Jews, actual Jews in the room. We probably have one or two folks from the Jewish background, and we love you. Messianic Jews, glory. But that means everybody else in this room is a Gentile. Turn to someone and say, I think I'm a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, that means we've had the opportunity to be grafted into the kingdom of God, which simply means this, that if God would cut off the Jew because of their unbelief, how much quicker will he cut off the Gentile? And it's called the time of the Gentiles. And the time of the Gentiles actually ends when the great tribulation period begins. Now, it's not that Gentiles will not be saved, 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Listen now, I could go 4 hours on this topic. Those 12,000, their job is going to be preaching the gospel. There'll be many people saved in the end times, but those are people that have never heard the gospel. So everybody in this room, I'm sorry I did this to you. But if you end up in the great tribulation period, you're not going to get another chance. A great delusion will come upon you, and you will serve Lucifer. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire because your name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're welcome.
What that should do to each one of us is simply this. Hello! God, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do better. Come on, you remember when your daddy was getting ready to spank you? Daddy, don't spank me. I promise I'll do better. Living right before God, which is great, means he's actually given you power to live right. It's called grace. Grace is not something gets you away with stuff. Grace gives you the power to overcome stuff. Amen? You have the grace of God. We have the grace of God. Yes, we're going to make bad decisions. But I want you to know that he's there. He knows our hearts. But baby, it's time to live holy like we've never lived holy again. It's time to say the church is different from the world. The Barna study, the latest Barna study said when they compared the church with the world, there was only 2% difference on pretty much every topic. From the movies we watch, to pornography, to giving, to even church attendance. There must be a change in the body of Christ. The world needs you. God needs you. They need the message that you carry. That's why we're here on this earth. We're on assignment on this planet. This is not our home. We are sojourners here. We have been called ambassadors. We are not from this nation. We are from the nation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a message on our tongue that sets the captives free. It's time to recognize we have a call on our lives. I'm going to be preaching a whole series in the next few weeks called The Watchman out of Ezekiel. I want you to realize how important your life is. You can't miss your importance. You can't miss your assignment. You can't miss your purpose. You can't miss your destiny. God's got so much for you. Don't settle for what the world has to offer. It will never truly satisfy. God's got destiny for you, a people that you can reach, and with a passion in your heart, knowing that he can crack the eastern sky at any moment. There's a drive within us. I know I'm here. I know I'm going to occupy till he comes, but I got something to do. Come on now, devil, get out of my way. I refuse to allow sin to own me. God has set me free. See, when we know this, you and I live different. Go ahead. He started playing that keyboard. Isn't that nice? Play on, kid. Yes. For whom? Yes, absolutely. Also want to pray for Arlene Gully. Many of you don't know. How many of you know Arlene works in the children's ministry? She fell off a stool and broke her neck. You need to be praying for her. Some of you need to go visit her in the hospital. We're going to ask a bunch of you to, if you start bringing food to her house. I hope you don't mind. That's what family does, by the way. She's home now. So what we need to do is start feeding her and her husband. Amen. She'll get healthy. She'll be all right. God will set her free. But the fact is that she's our family. Amen? Pray for those boys. But today, I want to pray for you. Because some of you aren't right. Today, I don't want you to be left behind. Some of you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I don't want you to be left behind. And those that are saved, I want you to realize this. Man, don't shirk your destiny. God's got greatness for you. He wants to make your name great. He wants you to devastate the devil's domain. There's nothing more fun than stealing a soul from Satan. Amen. There's nothing more addicting than seeing someone born again and you got to lead them. Nothing more fun. I'm praying, as we've been praying for weeks, that God will put a fresh baptism of love in your heart for people. We got to love people again. Because without that, they'll never know the gospel. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak life over your house. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are coming and coming very soon. Lord, even the man of God declared it as he penned it in the scripture. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Give us time, God, to seek and to save as many people as possible. Give us time, oh God, to share the gospel across our region and across what you place us responsible for. God, give us time with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're not sure if you're right with God, you don't want to miss the rapture.
You don't want to miss and be left behind. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition, you want to get right with God, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Is there anyone else this morning? Yes, in the back, sir. I see you. Very good. Is there anyone else? Not going to wait long. Not going to wait long. Not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on. Get your hand up. 3. Urgency. 2. Urgency. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I get excited talking about the rapture. I know if it's not exciting, you do need to check your heart. You need to find out why it scares you. Shouldn't scare you. Should energize you. I can't wait to see him face to face. Amen. We talked about heaven last week. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. The only reason I'm waiting now, man, I love what Paul said. He said, you know what? If I go to heaven, I benefit better, but I'll stay here just for you. It's awesome. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Quickly, please. Quickly. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. Man, they know how to lay hands on the sick, call those things which are not as though they already are. If you raise your hand for salvation or rededication, and I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to wait till we're dismissed simply because I'm extremely late and I sincerely apologize. It is 12 o'clock noon. You thought you were hungry. That's the reason you're hungry. Oh, it's not? I'm sorry. Do you need to start bringing people to church? Get on the phone this week. And I know an individual, Pam, she had asked, what, 9 people? 9 people to church, and not one of them came. That's all right. You planted a seed. Find 9 more. Someone's going to come. When they come get saved, they're going to thank you for changing their life, bringing them to where God can speak to their heart. Amen. Father, I just speak blessing over your house in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you've given us the power to share your gospel. Jesus, come quickly. Show us, God. Propel us, God. Burden us, God, to live holy and to share your gospel, especially in these last days. We love you, and we're excited that you're coming. But Lord, give us some time to share the gospel with more people. Lord, there are too many people not going to see you. Lord, they're stuck in religion. They're stuck in just sin. They're stuck in ignorance. But God, we thank you that we have the word given to us, and we will be faithful stewards to give your word to people, to be watchmen on the wall in the name of Christ. And everybody said, have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your heart. Lead someone to Jesus today. Let them know how much God loves them. If you raise your hand for salvation, if you'll meet me down here front right here, I'd appreciate it. Be bold, be brave. Come right out of your chair. Meet me right down front.